Amen. Well, let's go to the Word of the Lord, shall we? I'm going to ask you to turn to Solomon's Song, or the Song of Solomon. Chapter 2. There's just going to be one verse of Scripture there that we're going to read. It's in chapter 2, verse 15. So weird to be being filmed by video, because then when I turn around, I see him on television or screen, but then all I see is my back because I'm turning. Then I turn back, you can see my face. So I turn real quick, see if I can beat it. See if I can see myself. Well, would you read out loud, please? And if you can't read, just mumble. Nobody will know the difference. And if you have your Bible and you can't find Song of Solomon, just hold it real close and just say, "Wow, awesome, unbelievable." How many will help me preach a little bit here today? Ooh. How many help me more than a little bit? All right. Thank you. Take us the foxes. Let's read together. Take us the foxes. The little foxes that spoil the vines. For our vines have tender grapes. Take them. Because they're going to wreck things. Get a hold of them. I'd like you to turn to the book of Leviticus. I heard somebody pronounce it one time Leviticus. I'm not sure which one you would prefer, but Leviticus chapter 11. I'd like us to read out loud again. Book of Leviticus chapter 11 verse 29. You ready to read? All right, let's read. These also shall be unclean unto you among the creeping things. Everybody say creeping things. There's some things in the Bible that give God the creeps. And here are some of them. He called them creeping things that creep upon the earth. Let's read together. Let's number them. Ready? Number one is the... And number two is the... And number three is after his kind. And number four in verse 30 is the... And number five is the... You should read louder than that, I know. And number six is the... And number seven is the... And number eight is the mole. Now, it's not like this little thing growing on my cheek right here. One time I was preaching in the Bahamas, and a lady from Jamaica was in the congregation, and she came up to me after service. She said, "I thought I recognized you, because I preached in Jamaica years ago. And when I got up close to you," and she reached her finger up and flicked my mole here, "and when I saw your mole on your face, I realized it was you." She's, "Yo, back off of my face here." That's not the kind of mole we're talking about. He called that mole a creeping thing. If you slip down to verse 41, we find that there weren't just eight creeping things that God was talking about. Look what it says in verse 41. "And every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth shall be an abomination. It shall not be..." When I pause, you fill in the space, right? "It shall not be..." Don't ingest it. Don't let the creeping things inside. Because if you let them on the inside, they're going to do some creepy things to you. He said if you eat them, if you take them in, it's going to be an abomination to the Lord. In verse 44, it says, "For I am the Lord your God. Ye shall therefore sanctify yourselves." He didn't say, "I'll sanctify you" here. He said, "I want you to sanctify yourself. I want you to make a commitment. I want you to make a change. I want you to separate yourself from the creeping things and be holy unto me. I want you to do it. I want you to take some responsibility." And then he says, "And ye shall be holy, for I am holy, and neither shall ye defile yourselves with any manner of creeping things that creepeth upon the earth. She's talking pretty strong about these things. So tonight, next slide, I'd like to preach for just a little while. Probably won't be a little while, but I'd like to preach for just a little while. Little foxes and creeping things. Little foxes and creeping things. Said, you help me tonight? Now, I don't think preaching, at least from my point of view, is something I do to people. I like preaching to be something we do together. When you say amen, you're saying, so be it. You're participating. You're saying, I want that in my spirit. I want that in my life. So, if I say something that you feel like applies to you tonight, I think you ought to shout amen every once in a while. If I say something you think applies to you or you think is right, shout amen. Now, if I say something that you feel like applies to somebody you know, which we always hear more about stuff, you know, that applies to other people. Boy, that's good for her back there. Amen! I want you to say amen when you hear something applies to somebody else, somebody you know. They don't even have to be here tonight. Just shout amen anyhow. We'll keep the amens flowing. Lord, we want to be vessels. We want to be just vessels of honor. We don't want to be in any house. There's vessels of honor and vessels of dishonor. I want to be a vessel of honor. I believe there's others here tonight that want to be vessels of honor. Vessels that are clean and holy. Vessels that you can use to flow through. That out of their vessel shall flow rivers of living water and touch our world, touch people. That we want to be worshipers, true worshipers. Someone that you can use to step out of eternity and into time and manifest your... Touch every pastor tonight. Touch every evangelist and missionary tonight. Bless every minister tonight. Minister's wives. Oh, minister to the wives. Bless these precious young people. Help us make some changes that would bless you. We submit ourselves, not my will, but thine be done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And before you're seated, everybody that loves and adores Jesus, would you say amen? And would you express your adoration and love and worship in praise, high praise, and loud praise to the Lord? Oh, I think we can do a little better than that. I think we can lift our voice. I really believe it. Hallelujah. Would you put your hand on somebody's shoulder and ask the Lord, do something miraculous in my brother's life. Do some transformation. Would you use that word? Lord, help my sister with transformation. Help my brother with transformation. Minister to us and help us move forward. Move closer. Move deeper. Move higher. Help my brother and my sister to start a new part of their journey tonight. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Satan, we rebuke you in the name of the Lord. I almost feel sorry for you. You're so beat up in this service. You're so trashed. You're so kicked out. You're so rejected. You're so little. You're so pitiful. We take authority over every spirit of distraction in the name of Jesus. We take authority over any spirit of temptation in the name of Jesus. We take authority over any spirit of confusion. We cast it out of here right now. And we release the power of the Holy Spirit here tonight. We release the glory and thank you, Jesus, for your goodness. God bless you. You may be seated. And thank you, Arkansas, for being so kind to me and inviting me to be here. And I've enjoyed myself. And that was an interesting time we had today. I'd like you to think for just a minute. Would that be possible? I promise not to try to make you think for too long. But if just for a minute you can think. I know thinking is exhausting and we tend to ignore it and really kind of hide from it because it's so exhausting. But just for a minute, could you think with me? A yes would be a good response to that. And so here's what I want you to think about. I want you to see in your mind's eye a scale, just a one-line scale, little increments on it. At this end of the scale is 0. At the other end of the scale is 10, number 10. Have we exhausted ourselves already? Okay. And so I would like you to see that as a scale from 0 to 10. And I'd like you to pick a number on that scale where you see yourself based on the following criteria. I'd like you to measure your prayer life tonight for just a second. Where do you see yourself on that scale in your prayer life? Where do you see yourself on that scale in your commitment to the Lord and to your commitment to His cause? I'd like you to think for a minute about your worship level. Do you love Him like He should be loved? Do you adore Him like He should be adored? Are you intimate with Him? Put all those things together. How intimate are you with Him? 0 would be somewhere right up there, snuggled up to Judas. And 10 would be right up there with the Apostle Paul. And if he was an 11, he'd be God, which he's not. So nobody in here, please give yourself a 0. And for sure, nobody in here, give yourself a 10. But if you'll pick 1 through 9, where do you see yourself on that scale? Is your prayer life where it should be? Do you feel like you're moving forward? Do you feel like you have a real intimate relationship? Maybe there's a time you would have said you were 7, but you've kind of got to look at it a little bit, and maybe I'm a 5. I don't have that intimacy I used to have. I don't have that anointing I used to have. Or maybe you see yourself as moving in the good direction and everything's together. Maybe you see yourself as a 7 and moving forward. Has everybody picked a number? I'm not going to ask you what it is. I'm not going to ask you to share it with anybody. I just want you to do a little self-evaluation, a little self-introspection. Don't want to wear you out. But I'd like you to think about it. Do you have attitudes you shouldn't have? Are there bitternesses that you shouldn't have? Is there some unforgiveness that's pushing you down toward the One and away going in the wrong direction? Or have you successfully released yourself through forgiveness to things that have happened to you? And believe me, if something has happened to you, you're not the only one. As a matter of fact, if something hasn't happened to you somewhere along the line, you're the only one. All of us have had to endure some offense, some hurt, and so on and so forth. That hurt is either going to move you this way, or you're going to handle it correctly, and it'll move you this way. So I want to know if everybody has picked a number. And the only way I can know that is to ask. And the only way that you can respond to let me know is to raise your hand. That's one way, and so that's the way I pick. So if you have picked a number where you are on that scale, would you please raise your hand? Amen? That's about a little more than half, maybe 70%. The rest are wore out because they just became exhausted right off the thought, off the beginning, because they started to think. Thinking is exhausting. Now, everybody raised your hand. Would you please not be so embarrassed about it? Like, I got a number. Could you be a little bit more enthusiastic about it? It's not necessarily bad news. It's just the truth. So where do you see? How many have picked a number? Will you wave your hand just a little bit? All right, thank you. Now, for all of you that waved your hand and picked a number, I'd like you to think another number. If you are three, and nobody has to know what your numbers are. This is between you and God. If you are three, I'd like you to pick two more numbers up the scale, which would be a... Only 12 people knew the answer to that question. Well, I think it comes hard around here. Let's try that again. If you had picked a three, and then you're going to pick two more numbers, what would it be? All right. This is audience participation. And if you pick the seven, that second number would be a... So if you've got your first number, now how many of you have your second number? Okay. There's fewer people that have their second number, but you checked out. You checked out. That's all right. Hopefully I'll check you back in somewhere. You picked a number on that scale, and now you've picked another number a little closer to that 10. I wonder how many here tonight, if somehow God would help you, would like to start a journey from the number you picked the first time toward that second number of a deeper relationship, a deeper anointing, a deeper prayer life. Can I see some hands that would like to? If God would help you start moving toward that second number. Amen. Let's just imagine 2 weeks from now, as a result of this service tonight, you've moved from a 3 to a 3.5, and you're well on your way to a 7. Or you pick 5, and now you're at a 5.8, and you're well on your way to that 7. And you're feeling good about it. Because you can't move this way without feeling better about life. You can't move toward that 10 without feeling some new energy, some new hope, some new faith. Can I get an amen here? All right, how many understand? So let's imagine 2 weeks from now, you've moved just a little bit. How do you feel about that? If it's 2 weeks from now, and you're not stuck at 3, but you're at 3.8, and you're moving, how do you feel about it? How do you feel about in 2 months that you're not at a 3.8, but you're at a 4.6? And you can feel more of God's glory, more of God's power, more of God's anointing. How do you feel about that 2 months from now? I got a feeling if you in 2 months were an increment ahead from where you are tonight, you're going to be pretty excited about it. Because you can't get closer to God without getting more excited. You can't enjoy more of Jesus without feeling joy unspeakable and full of glory. Can I get an amen from somebody? If you're headed this way, you're going to have less joy, less peace, less anointing, less happiness. You're going to have misery upon misery. But if you're working your way up that scale, you've got hope. You've got encouragement. You've got blessing. You've dumped some things. You're putting on some things. God is using you in a brand new way. How many would like to see that happen? Well, guess what? It can start right now. Because so many of our people and pastors, and I'm one of them. Let me start off like this. There's been plenty of times when I realized I was stuck. I was emotionally stuck. I was spiritually stuck. I just same old, same old. The anointing just wasn't there like it used to be. The joy wasn't there. Life is draining. Life has a way of draining us and depleting us and causing us to sort of just get stuck. Nothing really happening in our relationship with God. No real move of the Spirit in my personal life. My prayers seem to barely get out of my mouth and drop on the floor. And then we just quit praying because prayer is so frustrating. We feel there's many people, they're stuck. They haven't really delved into new areas because of the price that has to be paid. There is a certain laziness that comes on us personally. That just accepts the status quo because the effort it would take to move on down to that 10 just seems like something we can't drum up to get the energy to do it. So we get satisfied and complacent. I'm not talking about anybody here tonight. I'm talking about everybody that could have been here and didn't come. Sometimes we just sort of get complacent and apathetic. You know what the word apathetic means? It comes from the two syllables, a, which means without, and pathos, which means passion. Apathy literally means without passion. Just sort of the blah, blah, blah prayer, blah church, blah life. No zip, no zeal, no joy. Sort of stuck. The sad thing about being stuck is you don't stay where you are on that scale when you get stuck. Many people fall for the trick that, well, I got a pretty good thing going here. I'll just stay right here. They don't really say it out loud, but it just becomes a part of their thinking somehow. And nobody ever stays where they are. They either are moving this way or they're eventually moving this way. Because when you get stuck, you start losing what you already have. You lose your prayer life. You lose your worship life. It just things don't seem to make or mean as much to you. And you start going from a 5 to a 4. And from a 4 to a 3. And we justify that. I know I'm not where I used to be, but I'm not way over there. I'm not way like that person or that backslider. Oh, you may not be there now, but if you're headed down in this direction, where is it going to stop? Let me tell you where it's going to stop. It's going to stop when you decide, I've let this thing get a little too far. I think I'm going to put my foot down, and I'm going to start doing the work that I didn't want to do when I was a 5, and now I've got to do it when I'm a 2. And I didn't want to do the praising when I was a 5. Now I've got to gear it up and start doing whatever is necessary to get from a 2 back to a 3, and from a 3 to a 4, and a 4 to a 5. Because nobody stays in one particular spot. You're either sliding. Did you ever hear the term backsliding, young man? Did you ever hear the term front sliding? You know why you never heard the term front sliding? Because nobody front slides. They only back slide. You can only slide if you're going back. If you're going to go front, you're not going to slide. You got to climb. You got to walk. You got to make some effort. All you have to do to backslide is just do nothing. And you're going to slide. But if you want to go toward the 10, am I talking to anybody here tonight? If you want to go toward the 10, you got to get up off of the slide. And you got to start climbing. And you got to start talking to God. And you got to start making some changes. Anybody still want to move from a 3 to a 5 or a 5 to a 7? If you want to start moving tonight, let's give Him some high praise right now. Why don't you give Him the praise you're going to give Him when you get to that second number? Why don't you give Him the praise you're going to give Him when you get to that? Start moving forward with God. Ooh, I feel like praising Him again. Let's just send up some vapor right now with a loud voice, because we need His energy. We need His strength. We need His joy. We need His power, because we cannot do it ourselves. I can't grow without His help. I can't change without His help. I can't move to that 10 without His help. I didn't even get on the scale without His help. He reached out into darkness. He brought me into His marvelous light. And then He said, grow. Grow for it. Grow for it. Go for it. Grow for it. Praise God. You may be seated. I'd like you to think some more. Taking a risk. I want you to think some more. Think about whatever that first number was. There's reasons why you picked that number. There's things in your life, or things that aren't in your life that should be in your life, or things in your life that shouldn't be in your life. And in a very few moments, you took personal inventory and admitted some things to yourself and placed yourself on a particular number. And I'm going to tell you very quickly and easily how you can start the process tonight moving to that second number. If you can think of one thing you could change that would start moving you forward, you could start moving tonight. The problem is not God if you're stuck. He's constantly calling us. There's people in here feeling something that you've been feeling for months. It's God's calling. It's God's drawing. It's God saying, come to me. Come on. Let's get it on. Let's launch something together. You're feeling that right now. And it's so easy to ignore and go eat a hamburger. It's so easy to ignore and just go have some fun. But there's people in this room, you're feeling something you've been feeling for a while. And God has been calling you and challenging you to get moving. And maybe you didn't put all the pieces together, but He's meeting you again here tonight to bring it face to face with you. Are you happy with where you are? I'd like you to step on up a few places, a few spaces, and let's get something on in your life. Let's reach your destiny. Let's not be satisfied down here. Let me lead you up a little higher so you can reach your destiny. If you could think of one thing you could change, just one, and there may be many, but if you could think of just one, you could take a moment and say, God, I want to change this. Whatever it is. Because you can't change anything that you're not willing to admit needs to be changed. And you can't change anything that God doesn't show you that needs to be changed. For years, Brother McCool, when God would show me something that needed to be changed because of some healing that I hadn't received yet, I received that as God's anger with me. God's disappointment. I had a father I could never please. If I brought a C, he would say, why isn't it a B? If I brought a B, why wasn't it an A? And if I brought an A, why wasn't an A plus? And it frustrated me. And it communicated disappointment with me, which is very demeaning to a child. And when God would correct me, speak to me about some areas that needed to be changed, I interpreted that as He was angry and disappointed with me. And that was a wrong interpretation. Because the fact is, ladies and gentlemen, there's nothing you can do to make God love you any more than He loves you right now. You and I were taught conditional love. If you do good, you get cookies. If you do bad, you go to bed without dinner. We're mad. We're angry. We're disappointed. And if you do good, you get a pat on the head. Oh, they love me. They love me not. They love me. They love me not. And we learn conditional love. But God's love is not conditional. There's nothing you can do to make God love you anymore. When you get to heaven, He's not going to love you any more than He loves you right now, because He loves you absolutely, totally. Conversely, it's true, there's nothing you can do to make God love you any less. No matter, you couldn't do anything, say anything, be anything, go anywhere to make God love you less. You may disappoint Him, you may grieve Him, but you don't affect His consistent, unconditional love that He has for you. And we are not good understanding that right there, what I just said. It's called grace. Now you can take yourself right to hell if you want. And He'll let you if you want. That doesn't mean He doesn't love you. When you backslide, it doesn't mean He doesn't love you. It means you brought on a heap of junk on your own self. And that's not God's anger or lack of love for you. He still loves you. Look at the prodigal. Look at his dad. Brother Mahaney shared a word with me today about the prodigal. The prodigal was willing to become a servant, but the father was not willing to not be his father. Our Father is not willing to not be our Father. Therefore, He loves you when you're blowing it. He loves you when you're making mistakes. He loves you when you're being a jerk. He loves you when you're sliding. He calls you because He loves you. He's convicting you because He loves you. We think, all right, I did the prayer, I did the fasting, and I'm now feeling more God, now He loves me. Oh, He loved you when you weren't fasting. He loved you when you weren't praying. You just weren't doing what was necessary to get close enough to Him to enjoy His presence. Amen. So when we don't do these things, we don't feel Him, so we think He's mad. No, He's not mad. You just drifted away. He still loves you just as much when you're being a nerd as when you were doing everything you're supposed to do. We're not good at this. And He wants to help you tonight. If you'll just look at one little thing you could do. He's not mad at you. He's not about to whoop you over it. He wants to enter into your life and help you be an overcomer. Hello, everybody. I could use an amen about now. He wants to help us be an overcomer. You know what the Hebrew definition for overcomer is? Just come on over. I made that up in Hebrew. You just come on over. You come over from depression to joy. You come over from weakness to strength. You come over from defeat to victory. But you cannot do that by yourself. We need Him to come in and encourage us and lift us by His love. Somebody give the Lord some good praise right now. Aren't you glad you got a God that loves you? Am I okay? We doing all right here? This is what transformation is all about. You can't change something you can't look at. That's what denial is. There's nothing wrong with me. I got it all together. What are you talking about? What I'm talking about is what you don't want to look at. Because none of us have arrived. Because brother number 10 said he is not yet apprehended. I don't think brother 5 has. If brother 10 hadn't, he said, I've not yet got it all together. There's still some errors, need some work. But this one thing I do, forgetting 4, 3, 2, and 1, and reaching forth to 6, 7, 8, and 9, I press. Come on, somebody. I press. You slide back, but you press forward. Anybody feeling like going forward? Does this make sense? I press. If number 10's got to press, number 2 better start pressing right now. Number 3 better start pressing right now. Brother, number 8's got to press right now. Because we're not going to go forward if we don't make some effort. And that's part of the problem. It's the effort that it takes. It's the commitment that it takes. Now think with me for one more. I'll try not to make you think anymore. Can anybody think of one thing you could change starting tonight that would move you from wherever you said you were toward where you said you want to go? Can anybody think of one thing? I see those hands, please. Thank you. Now, what we need to do is invite Him in. We see it. Let's confess it. Hey, Lord, I stink in this area. That's what it is. He said, I know. That's not news to him. One lady was in visiting a pastor, told her a real bad sin that she did, and he said, well, I'll pray for you, sister. He said, oh, no, God don't know about it. That's kind of how we think sometimes. God doesn't know about it. If I tell Him, He'll be mad. He already knows. If He wanted to get you, He'd have got you. He don't need you to pray to get you. Well, am I speaking in tongues here tonight? Am I communicating with anybody here tonight? If He wanted to get you, He'd have already got you. So if He hadn't got you, that means He don't want to get you. So you might as well come out of the closet and say, I'm not perfect. Is that so hard? I'm not perfect. I don't have it all together. But Lord, I'd really like to get it together. Anybody in here willing to say, I don't have it together, but I want to get it together? It's called being honest with yourself.
You may be seated. He don't need your address if he wanted to get you. He knows where you live. He don't need to pray. He need to pray to get you. We kind of have some kind of feeling if I really get open before the Lord, He'll see stuff in me He won't like. He already does. He's not mad at you about it. He wants to help you. So first, we got to be honest and admit it's there. Secondly, we need to repent of it. Hey, I hate this. I'm embarrassed. But God, forgive me. And next step, help me overcome this. Because the Bible doesn't say if you're an overcomer, He's going to make you a pillow. We got too many pillows, softies in Pentecost. He said, if you be an overcomer, I'll make you a pillar in my house. That means I got something I just can't get past. I got a habit I can't get past. I got attitudes I can't get past. I have sensitivities I can't get past. Amen. So Lord, here I am. I'm a bunch of junk. Somehow I don't even know how I'm still living for You. But if You'll help me, forgive me and help me in this area, give me the strength. Guess what? He's going to do it. And He's going to say, come on, let me help you. Here we go. We're not going to get mad anymore. Next time you get tempted to get mad, you're going to smile and say, I forgive you. And guess what? Somebody's going to help you figure out if you learned what He was trying to tell you. And next thing you know, the thing that used to bug you so much isn't bugging you anymore. The thing that used to depress you is not depressing you anymore. The thing that used to irritate you is not irritating you anymore. Because the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. God is going to set you free from some hurts. He's going to set you free from some deficits. You see, we're fractured and we're broken and we're splintered. We weren't made to live outside the garden. And because we were born outside the garden and we've lived outside the garden, we are in chaos and splintered and fractured. But He called us out of darkness and into His kingdom. But we came in imperfect and we were born again. And then we are now in a process of being transformed into His likeness. So how many's got that thing that if you could change, if you could start, if you let God in, it start moving you toward. How many knows that thing that you got? How many? Can I see those hands again? All right. Next slide, please. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2 talks about what we're talking about here. Do not be conformed to this world. You know, there's a lot more to that than just outer holiness standards. It's how the world thinks. It's not just how they look. It's how they think. It's their values. It goes way beyond just our outer attire. But be not conformed to this world, this age, fashioned after and adapted to its external, superficial customs. But be transformed. Changed by the entire renewal of your mind by its new ideals and new attitude. Verse 2 in the Amplified, that was 1 and 2, as it continues, so that you may prove for yourselves. You're not trying to prove it to anybody else. We do a lot of performing to make people happy with us. But there's some things we need to do to prove it to ourselves. What is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God? Even the thing which is good and acceptable and perfect in His sight for you. Transformation is not something that happened when we got born again and then it never happens again. If we're hung up tonight just like we were hung up a year ago, something isn't right. There should be a constant transformation process going on in our lives, helping us grow. As we overcome one thing,
God will begin to show another. This is what kind of freaked me out. I thought I could never please my Heavenly Father because He'd show me one thing and we'd work on that. Then He'd show me another thing. I thought it was, well, if it was a C, why isn't it a B? But I realized that when He was helping me with this and we got over this, then He started helping me with this and we started getting over that. It wasn't God criticizing me. It was God inviting me to a deeper place in Him, to a greater intimacy with Him as He was putting Humpty Dumpty back together again. And I realized this is not a put down, it's a lift up, because everything I overcame, I started feeling more of Him. Everything I overcame, I started enjoying Him more. Not because He started loving me more, it was because I could start relating to Him more because of the transformation process going on. The scripture we read earlier tonight about the little foxes. There's a reason for it. In our next slide, we see later on in the Song of Solomon, boom, in chapter 7, it says, now we read in chapter 2. What is your name, son? Sean. Cool name. That's my son's name. How you doing, son? Amen. You see, in chapter 2, you better do something about the foxes. Because in chapter 7, this is going to happen. And if you don't take care of the foxes in chapter 2, you're going to mess up right here in chapter 7. Let us go out early to the vineyards. What are the vineyards? To me, that's the fruit of Christ-likeness that I've been able to build into my life. The fruit of the Spirit, the character of Jesus. You know, here's the deal. We look like we really like Jesus. But do we look like Jesus? We look like we like Him. But are we like Him? Looking like we like Him is not the same thing as being like Him. Being like Him is having His nature, His character. Y'all still with me tonight? Have I blown you away here tonight? Being like Him. Changing what's not like Him. That's what we're talking about. What's standing between us and that next number is a bunch of stuff that's not like Him. And He says, now, let's go out early to the vineyards. That's God and you taking a little inspection on how your vineyard is doing, how your life is doing, how your Christ-likeness is doing. I can't understand preachers and people that are so strong in some area that they're so mean about it and nasty about it and hateful about it and can't see how unchristlike that is. Give me that old time religion. It makes me hate everybody that doesn't agree with me. Hello, somebody. I'm out here by myself. I love some company. Brother, the higher you get, the more in love with people you ought to be. And the more hateful you are, and the more spiteful you are, the farther down this end you are. Believe what you want to believe, but love somebody into it instead of beating them up because they don't agree with you. Well, pray. Give me that old-time religion because it makes me love everybody. Even people that don't agree with me, I love them. Even with people that don't like me, I love them. Because I want to be like Jesus. And Jesus loved the Romans that drove the nails in His hands. And if you're going to be like Jesus, you better get working on how you feel about people. Could you lift your hands and give Him some high praise with a loud voice right now. Does that make sense? You need to let Jesus get the hate out of your heart, the prejudice out of your heart. See, I love these people, but I hate these people. You better get that out of your heart. Because Jesus loves people a whole lot worse shape than we are here tonight. He loves people down in the gutter. He loves thieves. He loves rapists. Hey, try this on. He loves homosexuals. He doesn't love homosexuality, but there's a soul there He loves. And if He can get them out of darkness into His marvelous light, He'll take anybody and everybody. What was so cool about you before you got saved? Nothing. He took you just the way you are, and He washed you in the blood, and He sanctified you by His Spirit. You got nothing to brag about.
Man. Makes me love everybody. He goes on to say, look, love isn't charismatic, it's Jesus. Don't tag love for being charismatic. Love is what God is. If they misuse it, that doesn't mean we don't need it. He doesn't give love, He is love. What a great daddy. That's why we can cry, Abba, Father. For we've received not the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we've received the spirit of adoption. We didn't earn this. I said we didn't earn this. Matter of fact, we deserved a whole lot less. Amen. Aren't you glad He didn't give us what we deserve, but He gave us what we needed. He gave us what we needed. He gave us what we needed, not what we deserve. I'm trying to hurry and doing a lousy job. Let us go out early to the vineyards and see whether the vines have budded. What kind of fruit is in your life? Whether the grape blossoms have opened and whether the pomegranates are in bloom. How you doing? A little inspection. He comes by and says, let's take a look at your life. How's it going? How are you developing? Are you growing? Are you moving forward? Are there buds there? Are there pomegranates there? And if we see that there are, look at this. There, I will give you my love. I don't think it means I didn't love you till we got there. I think it means when we get there, and we see some fruit, there's going to be something between me and you we didn't have before. I'm going to give you something there. You interpret it any way you want to. It looks pretty good to me, whatever it means. Something good's going to happen. When He sees me moving from a 3 to a 4, and from a 4 to a 5, something is budding. But back here in chapter 2, He says, you better watch out for the foxes. Because the little foxes don't want you to get to chapter 7 here and receive something from God you didn't have before. Are you all still with me here tonight? I'm trying to hurry, doing a lousy job. But I'm trying to get there. Look what it says in Solomon's Song chapter 2, the same verse we read earlier, but in the New Living Translation. It's the next slide. This is the one with catch the foxes. Look what it says. It says, quick, catch all the little foxes before they ruin the vineyard of your love. This is the vineyard He's going to go see about in chapter 7 to see how you're doing in your growth and in your development. And He says, these little foxes will ruin the vineyard of your love, for the grapevines are all in blossom. Do something about the little foxes. Why should I do something about a little fox, Sean? He's just little. He's no big deal. And I can handle that. He's a little fox. Well, here's the problem, Sean. Little foxes don't stay little. The trick the devil tries to play on us, oh, that little bitterness is no big deal. It's just little. That little pornography you're looking at, it's no big deal. Just a little. You got it under control. But here's the thing, ladies and gentlemen. Bitterness, little bitterness doesn't stay little. A little unforgiveness doesn't stay little. A little attitude doesn't stay little. A little prayerlessness doesn't stay little. And so when the little foxes are there, God's showing you the foxes when they're little so you can do something about it. Because little foxes don't stay little.
Come on, somebody. How many of you have seen somebody let a little something in their life, but it was okay, they can handle it, but it didn't stay little, got a little bigger, took over a little more territory, started doing some major damage to their life. And so Satan is saying to somebody here tonight, don't worry about that little attitude you got. Don't worry about that little habit you got. It's just little. But I'm telling somebody tonight, while it's little, you better do something about it in Jesus' name. While it's little, you better pray through about it in Jesus' name. While it's little, you better get it out of you, because you're defiled when it's in you. You need to sanctify yourselves and get the little things out. Because when you do that, you'll start moving toward the ten. That's what Satan doesn't want you to do. He wants to say, I'll take care of this at camp meeting, or I'll take care of this at Sunday night, or I'll take care of this down the road. Meanwhile, that fox is getting a little bigger. Meanwhile, that habit's getting a little bigger. Meanwhile, that anger is getting a little bigger and got a deeper hold on you. I submit to you tonight, by the grace of God, there are some foxes that we can leave dead and buried at this altar tonight that will release you to start getting to that second number. If you want to go, you can take a start right now tonight, because little foxes don't stay little. Quick, he said. Quick. Get with it. Don't postpone it. Quit putting it off. Quit pretending it's not there. Quit thinking it's cute. Look at this next slide. It's a slide of some foxes. Boy, they look so cute, don't they? You know what? If you saw a fox, little or big, during the day, and he's not afraid of you, chances are he's got rabies. He can kill you. I don't care how cute he looks. I don't care how sweet he looks. That's exactly how Satan brings little things into our lives. There's things about our lives sometimes we think are so cute. Oh, that's just the way I am. Ain't it cute? No. It's killing you. It's hindering you. It's keeping you back from being what God has planned for you. But if you'll sanctify yourself, get a hold of a fox, you can start moving toward that thing.
Almost through. I got 17 more pages. This past summer, I preached this 9 times in a row to my congregation. And I never got much farther than I've gotten here tonight. So the good news is, I probably won't finish. The bad news is, I'm feeling like trying. I'm kidding. Right now, I feel like hiding somewhere. I feel like I'm exposed. I shared things in a way that I've opened myself up in a way I'm not sure I ever have before. Because we need to be real. We're like, if you will, like icebergs. You see a little bit on the surface, but under the surface, there's a whole other thing going on. We are very good at superficiality. I'm fine. Praise the Lord. How you doing? Oh, great. You see the top of my iceberg? I got it all together. Zip-a-doo-doo-dah. Praise the Lord. But underneath the surface, down below, there's rumblings. And there's fears. And there's anxiety. And there's worries. And we tend to even get so good at hiding it from everybody else, we end up hiding it from our own selves. But in order to be transformed from one degree of glory, I love what 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, you know, where the Spirit of the Lord, there is liberty. Liberty for what? The next verse tells you what it sets us at liberty for. It sets us up with liberty to change. Change and transform. One translation says, from one degree of glory to another.
the more I transform and the more I change and become like Him, it gets better and better and better. It's that thing where He said, and there I'll give you my love. Getting closer to Jesus makes life a whole lot more beautiful. Here's my wind up, and this is it. And this is where I stop, right after this one, right here, so many times. I got a whole bunch of more cool stuff. I just never got a chance to finish it. Huh? Have to come back. Ooh, I might entertain that. About 4 or 5 years ago, in San Diego, there was a man who was on a hike. He was hiking up in the woods in Southern California, in the forest, state forest. And it was like 7:30 at night, and he was lost, and he panicked. And he had brought a flare gun with him. I guess he had faith he was going to get lost. And so he had this flare gun, and he panicked, and he shot the flare gun off, hoping that somebody would see the flare and come rescue him. Unfortunately, the flare did more than just attract a little attention, started a little fire, and the Forest Service looked out of their binoculars and saw that little bit of smoke coming off the mountaintop there. They called the San Diego Sheriff's Department that had helicopters and firefighting equipment and could have gone up there and put that fire right out. And they went up for an inspection. They called down to the sheriffs and asked them to fly up there and take a look at what the smoke was about. It's getting a little later in the evening. And the Sheriff's Department gets up there with the helicopter and he sees that there's a little brush fire. And so this is what the helicopter pilot said to the Forest Service. There's a little brush fire up here, but it's past regulations for the time that we can be up here. So we're going to go back down and we can take care of it tomorrow. It's just a little fire. It's no big deal. It's not convenient right now for us to do something about it. So we're going to wait until tomorrow. What they forgot was that little fires don't stay little. The time to take care of a fire is when it's a little fire. The time, whether it's convenient or not, whether you feel like it or not, boy, you need to go down there and get some hoses and get some water up here because this fire isn't going to stay a little fire all night long. But they postponed it because it wasn't convenient. And I'd like to show you some pictures of that fire as it was the next day. Next slide, please. This is what happened with that fire. The fire moved south down Oak Canyon toward 52 Highway. It spread out wider than the lenses could take it in. Let's go to the next one, please. This is an aerial view along Route 15 near Miramar Air Station. From the top of the picture all the way down and off the picture is a fire line because somebody said, I don't have time to take care of this right now. Because somebody said it's just a little fire. I don't need to deal with it. Could I ask you one more time, where are those hot hands where people raised and said, if you could change something right now, it would move you a little farther down the line? Could I see those hands, please? You see, right now it's little. And you could do something about it. Or maybe it's been around for a while and you've been ignoring it. And that fire is starting to get out of control. It'll never stay the same. It'll spread into other areas of your life. Hold some bitterness against somebody. You'll end up hating the whole world after a while. Because little fires don't stay little. Can I get an amen from somebody? Let's go to the next one, please. Here is raging through a neighborhood in the evening time. They absolutely couldn't do anything about this fire. Next one, please. This is a picture from outer space. It was taken from a satellite. That wispy smoke going, that's the Baja Peninsula in Southern California into Mexico on the right. And that smoke is smoke from the fires being blown out of the Pacific Ocean. If you could see that on a really high-resolution monitor, you would see along that line to the right where the smoke is, little dots of red. It's the flames from outer space. You can see the flames because somebody said, it's just a little thing. Why are you making a big deal? It's because little things don't stay little. If we could put a fire out tonight, how much would that push us down toward the tent? If we could take care of a little fox that eaten away at our character like Jesus, how much could it just move us down the road? Let's take a look at the next one. You can't see that very well because of the bright light, but that's just another fire line moving from east to west, eating up the forest. Let's go to the next one. Here it is across that upper line. Can you see that out there? And it's moving into this neighborhood. And this neighborhood or one like it, as it moved into the homes, three teenage girls were caught up in it and they ran into their car out on the street and locked themselves into the car thinking it would save them from the fire. But it cooked them to death inside of that car because somebody said, it's just a little fire. Your mistakes are going to hurt other people. The little foxes in your lives don't want to just eat your lunch. They want to eat somebody else's lunch also. And that fire moved into that neighborhood and destroyed most of those homes. Next one. There's another picture of it moving toward that police car where they're blocking people out. They literally could not do anything about this fire. Here shows some of the damage that that fire did. This is a swimming pool. Back in the back on the upper left, that's a chimney from another house. Over 2,500 homes were destroyed. Almost 570,000 acres were destroyed. 25 people or so were killed because somebody said, it's just, that's what happened to David, brethren. He let a little spark get in his life. He didn't go to battle like he should have. He didn't have a prayer life like he should have. And so that fire spread and he saw Bathsheba. And the fire took on a whole other dimension. And he brought her into his house. And it took on a whole other dimension. She became pregnant. And then he wanted to kill Uriah. And it just took over his whole life. What if he'd have said, wait a minute, I should be in battle. I'm going to where I should be. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, let's go where we should be. Let's go where God wants us to be. Because if we hang out here, the fire is going to burn a little bit more. Can I get somebody to help me send up some vapor right now? Send up some vapor for our closing moment. Could you send up high praise so we could get some great vapor going here? That's how Satan works. That's how he destroyed Judas. A little greed here, a little greed there. It's just a little thing. It's just a little fire. It's just a little fox. It's no big deal. Deal with it while it's little. Put that fire in it. Put it out tonight. Cut the head off of that fox tonight and start a brand new life heading toward your destiny. Praise Him one more time, please. Because He's worthy. He's reaching for us. His love is reaching for us. He's saying, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. I'll help you overcome that. I'll help you overcome this. I've got destiny for you. I've got plans for you. You have to start moving. Look at the next picture. Let's all stand, please. Look at the next picture. All that smoke. That whole picture is full of smoke. Closed down roads because somebody said, let's look at the next one. More of it. Look at the intensity of that. Those firemen are absolutely, absolutely helpless to do anything about it. Hold on one second, brother, would you? Thank you. Let's look at the next one. That is called a twister of flame. Almost like, looks like a beam. Tear it up. Destroy.
That flame could have been never allowed to exist if somebody had said, hey, it's too late for us to be out here tonight, but this fire looks too deadly. We're going to have to be a little inconvenient here. Take care of the flame. Had they done that, 25 people would have still been alive. 2,200 homes would still be people living in them. Hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars would not have been lost. Thousands of wild animals were burned and destroyed because somebody said, so, creeping thing. Next time, if there is a next time, we'll talk about the weasel that creeps in, the mouse that creeps in, all the little animals, the ferret and the tortoise. You know what's one thing they have in common? They're all burrowing animals. They dig underneath the surface, and that's where they live. They burrow in little attitudes under the surface. Not up here. That's the tip of the iceberg. But down underneath, inside of our spirit, creeping things try to creep in. He said, don't eat them. Don't let them get in. Sanctify yourselves and get it out of your spirit. We could start that tonight. Would you take somebody by the hand? Take somebody by the hand. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ,